The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker. Sponsored by Bagwell, Celestial Cruise Lines, Dan Perkins, IDI Smile Artist, iMarketing, Victory Nutrition International, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, and Ultimate Air Show on W4CY.
Hi, this is Katherine Raker of Let's Just Talk, and I want to welcome to our show, the person that actually created this product, his name is Kevin Sherman. He's the CMO of True Drinks Incorporated, and their product is called Aquaball. And I want to find out the real story behind this wonderful drink for children. It's the perfect kids drink. No calories, no sugar, no high fructose corn syrup. And everyone knows that I've been in working with children and children's beverages and also working with our TV show for the Chef You and I to get America healthy. And I want to bring him to the forefront now. I want to welcome you to our show, Kevin, and tell us a little bit about your history and then Aquaball.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on, Katherine. Really, this is a great pleasure for myself and obviously the company to tell our story. Aquaball. Well, we as a company began with the question around looking at children's beverages, and obviously, we all know that they're dominated by juice, juice is obviously loaded with sugar and calories. Some of the kids' beverages out there have artificial colors, artificial flavors, high fructose corn syrup. Mm-hmm. The conversation began around, is there a way to create a healthier alternative to the beverage category for children, moving away from sugar, moving away from calories? And the reason why we started to have the conversation was because we started to study a lot of the trends, according to the CDC and the American Heart Association, where we're starting to see that it's not even an epidemic, but really becoming almost a pandemic around childhood obesity and diabetes.
Right.
The challenge was that kids like sweet taste.
That's right.
And in order to have that, you usually add the high fructose corn syrup or you add sugar to a product. So we decided to see if there was a way to break away from sugar. And we went down the road of stevia. So Aquaball is a naturally flavored water drink for children, and we're using stevia as our sweetener. Mm-hmm. We're moving. We just had an announcement recently that soon we will be moving into a hot fill product, which is a preservative-free product, which even further separates ourselves from the competition in the children's beverage category. What that essentially does, it narrows our ingredient core down to just simply four ingredients: purified water, vitamins, stevia, and natural fruit flavors.
Right.
So we're moving, you know, pretty down a path that very few beverage companies, I think, want to really entertain, because I think a lot of times it's very cheap to add the sugar. It's cheap to add, you know, make it fun for the kids with color. What we wanted to do was really attack the issue around hydration. We all know that the most important thing we can do for our bodies is just drink water. The difficult thing is getting kids to just drink plain water. They want that sweetness.
Mm-hmm. And I want Ruth to put the flavors on so I can see all the flavors. Can I ask your background to start, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, how did you start?
Yeah. Well, actually, before getting into the beverage space, mm-hmm. I was in education for a little over 10 years. I had been a teacher.
Right.
And a principal,
Ooh.
Started, yeah. So I was, you know, I spent 10 years in education. I started off working with the Apache Indian tribe in New Mexico.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was, yeah, and it was really there that I started to get a sense of, you know, this, again, the epidemic of childhood obesity and diabetes. I started to see it, and I started to study it again on a deeper level. After leaving working with the reservation, I went into South Central Los Angeles, and I worked in the Watts district of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not hard to see in the urban areas where obesity and diabetes is really it's prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
What I witnessed many times were kids beginning their days with, you know, juices loaded with sugar,
mm-hmm.
Soda. Kids beginning their day with soda. And being a principal and being a teacher, what was interesting was watching these sugar spikes, watching the kids come into the classroom, starting their day off with, you know, a juice box or a soda and starting their day, and they would be amped for the first hour or so. They'd be very excited. They're, you know, be fidgety, but then that sugar rush would wear off, and they would almost be catatonic by, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always something in the back of my mind that I was, you know, really paying attention to. The other thing I wanted to add there was during my summers when I was a principal, I had worked in Uganda and Tanzania, building teacher training programs in Uganda and Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I bring all this up is because really my background was completely involved with children, and I was always concerned about where children's health was going. For children. So the impetus really began, I would say, almost 13, you know, 12 years ago that I started to think about this. I was then working for a company called Beachbody, which everyone knows.
Oh.
About the products P90X and Insanity.
Oh, I have to tell you, I know someone that was the vice president for that.
Is that right?
Yeah, Neil. What's Neil's last name? And Ed, they actually are the guys that I worked with at Apteca Naturelle, but they were with Beach Bodies.
I know Neil. Neil, I believe, was working
in
operations.
Yes,
he
was.
Great guy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then you need to call him about me, because I really put those guys on the map.
Yeah, he was great. And, you know, being in a company like Beach Body, they were extremely, and they still are, you know, very entrepreneurial, but they really pushed
right.
the boundaries on health for people. I mean,
right.
The CEO, Carl,
right.
Was, you know, evangelical about ending this trend of obesity. So being in that kind of mind trust of a company like Beachbody really kind of lit a fire under me personally as an entrepreneur, but also made me aware of just how big this issue of obesity truly is. Obviously, with my background working with children, I just kind of married the two, and I said, well, look, I think there's a way that we can attack this problem for children
mm-hmm.
Via the beverages they drink. Now, when we set off to create the beverage, everybody told me that it couldn't be done. There was no way you were going to be able to take sugar out and high fructose corn syrup and actually have kids drink this product, because the kids want sweetness. So they kept on saying, you know, there's Kevin, you know, there's just no way you're going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
I was working very hard with our food scientists,
mm-hmm.
and we did figure it out. Today, if you look at the Nielsen data,
mm-hmm.
Objective data, we are the fastest growing kids beverage on the market. And I think that says something about where moms, where parents are as far as, you know, trending toward health. They're looking for alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the very, very big companies out there, I think that they lack innovation in the sense that they're not following, you know, the messaging that moms are sending. We have a very prolific outreach with mom bloggers, where moms do the reviews, they write
right.
us, they talk about the product.
Mm-hmm.
They're so excited because their kids are drinking water now, where they had to fight them tooth and nail before to just drink water. Now
right.
it says, if I had one mom blog tell me, it's like, Kevin, it's like we've fooled our children to drink water because it has flavor.
And that's really what I like. What you've done is you've packaged it to appeal to kids with what they're their heroes are. Exactly. With the Disney characters and the Marvel characters. My granddaughter is 5, right? Her name is Cassandra. She used to live in L.A., by the way. She used to live in, and my, she, when she gets this, she's going to freak out.
Yeah.
And I'm driving, I'm driving to New Orleans, so I'm bringing the product with me. And she wants to do a cooking show with me, which she's done before. You know, and I think that the wonderful thing about this is that you know that I've been in the beverage business before, and it's and I was a teacher. So I want kids to get healthy, and I want them to drink water because water's really important for kids hydrate themselves. So, but I think I love these characters that you have, Anna and Elsa and the Frozen group and Olaf. And then I see Ariel, Belle, Cinderella, and Rapunzel. And I'll tell you what, I know the kids down south are going to absolutely go nuts when they find out that we have this wonderful water. And I love the Marvel comp, you know, the Iron Man, Captain America, Avengers, Assembly, Hulk. Oh, wow. And then you've got the Disney characters, Mickey and Minnie and Daisy and Donald. And these are all wonderful characters for kids. Mm-hmm. And
Well, you know this, Catherine, because, you have a great background in beverages and specifically with children. You know, when we set off to start this, obviously my title as a chief marketing officer, and I would tell this to moms over and over, I feel like we're almost the anti-marketing company. We're not trying to put this, you know, great marketing spin around a sugary beverage and saying, hey, mom, we gotcha. You know, what we're trying to do is make it fun for kids to drink water, essentially, right?
That's
and that's
right.
Where obviously the characters come in. So from a marketing standpoint, we really have two consumers we're marketing to. We have the child that they see the characters, and of course they are driven to the characters. It's an impulse. They love these characters. But it's really the mom now that is taking the time, and they're becoming label readers. They want to know, all right, what am I putting into my kid's body here?
Right.
So we have this loud call out of zero sugar. Uh-huh. And, you know, we did some focus groups with moms, and it was really interesting. Obviously, the calories are important, the no high fructose corn syrup, the no artificial colors and flavors is important. But when we ask moms over and over, what is the most important thing? What's the most important takeaway? It was sugar. It was sugar, 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 sugar. And now they have this product and they know the kids, you know, they go to a supermarket and they see the product there. The kids want, they want obviously the characters, but the moms take a moment and they see the call out and they scratch their head. And we've heard this over and over and over again. We're like, you know, when we first saw Aqua Ball, we just thought it was a fun product. We had no idea that it was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really, you know, we're getting to both consumers. The other thing is that obviously we had a discussion about this once before, but we look at it as almost the perfect storm. You know, everything is kind of converging into children's health. You almost can't go a week without finding some major article on sugar and the effects of sugar on whether it's the brain or obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, here we are, this small company leading the charge. It's a true David and Goliath story because all we're doing is just telling the truth, right? We're saying, look, you know, we agree. We do not think kids need more sugar daily. And We're not saying that the kids shouldn't have a cookie or they shouldn't have a cupcake. What we are saying is just make one healthy choice a day.
Okay, right? And on that note, we need to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Kevin Sherman, the CMO of True Drinks Incorporated, in Aqua Ball. We'll be right back.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Little children aren't the only ones afraid of the dark. Millions of soldiers return from war zones with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, anger, frustration, fear, and loneliness, much of which surfaces during the darkness of night. You have the chance to change the lives of these American heroes. Songs and Stories for Soldiers was created to serve veterans who deal with the lack of sleep due to their injuries.
Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us provides a free MP3 player for these men and women. With a list of 3 million songs in 16 different styles, 100,000 audiobooks, and 30,000 old-time radio programs, every veteran can find something to soothe and comfort them at no cost. All our players contain an 8-hour audio program designed to help veterans fall asleep. With 1,500-plus vets now participating, it's our goal to deliver 10,000 audio players this year. To learn how you can help, go to our website at songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us. Help us to help a veteran make it through the night.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. My favorite tool in my kitchen and garage is the Bagwell Sealable Bag Holder. It's like having an extra set of hands to help you in the kitchen or the garage or anywhere. The Bagwell is quick and easy to use. Just pop it open, fold back a cup on the baggie, spread the cup over four sturdy arms, and you're ready to pour, fill, seal, and store with no spilling. It works great with snack foods, pasta dishes, anything that you have left over. It's dishwasher safe and folds flat for easy storage. Plus, it eliminates the clutter and stacks of tubs and lids in your cabinets and dishwasher. So, you can use it all over the house, anywhere you can use a baggie. Order a Bagwell for yourself, your friends, your family, for anyone who could use a helping hand. And guess what? They have a special at $6.99. Go to www.thebagwell.com.
iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email their changes to iMarketing.com and they'll take care of it at no additional cost. Websites cost only $795, and hosting, which includes all maintenance to the website, is only $39.95 a month. iMarketing.com is also a Google certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the internet very quickly. iMarketing.com works with Google daily to create campaigns and optimize them. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web by calling 513-942-7869, or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@i-mktg.com today.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We're back on Let's Just Talk with Kevin German, the Chief Marketing Officer of True Drinks Incorporated. And it was Neil Evans who I was thinking about, and he'll kill me for not remembering his name. But you know, it's amazing that the products that are out there today that are, you know, and it was funny because I was talking to my brother who's a beverage guy, and he wanted me to ask you this question. Are you thinking about being in theme parks and the zoos and everywhere else?
Yeah, absolutely. Our focus right now obviously has really been, you know, in the supermarket chain, in mm-hmm. the drug chain. You know, we're in Rite Aid right now, and then mm-hmm. in the mass chain, we are in Sam's Club right now. So obviously, yes, and I think it's just a matter of time until, you know, Aquaball really becomes one of these lighthouse brands that you're going to see it everywhere. And the reason is because we're seeing, you know, moms are demanding the product.
Right.
We have one retailer, I don't want to name, but
you're in Kroger's,
that.
You're in Safeway, you're in Target,
yeah,
you're in Rite Aid,
exactly.
Walmart, and Sam's. Why not say it? I can say it. I'm
in
Kroger Company.
What's interesting is that, you know, that the consumers are coming to the managers in store, and they're asking for Aquaball. I mean,
right.
If you go to our Facebook page, you will see, you know, what we hear over and over again is, you know, I live here. Where can I find it? Where can I find it? And we encourage them, you know, go to your manager of your store, and then we get calls from the managers to carry Aquaball. So it really is. It's an amazing groundswell that is taking place where I think many moms just have no idea that there's an alternative out there for juice. There's an alternative out there for soda. And we're doing this in a very grassroots way. You know, mom bloggers have really become our greatest friends. You know, they mm-hmm. reach out to us, we send them product, they do reviews. We don't at all ask them to, you know, sway the reviews, but what we keep on hearing over and over again is, my kids are drinking water. Another interesting fact, Catherine, you know, we talked about obesity and diabetes a lot, but when you look at the category of children's beverages, And you start thinking about this prevalence of pre-diabetes and diabetes with kids. Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, we're a diabetic-safe product because we have no sugar.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many parents have reached out where they're, you know, they're overjoyed because they were only giving their kids water. They were only giving their kids water, and the kids were just getting tired of water. So, you know, this has been a great impact for those kids that are diabetic to have some flavor, to have some fun with their beverages, because they've really been locked out of, you know, adding juice and other beverages that have a lot of sugar.
Well, one of the questions that our producer asked is, are doing it for adults? And, you know, there's a lot of, you know what, Ruth, I can drink it right out of that wonderful bottle. And guess what? Those are collector bottles, right?
Yeah, but are they ever going to make them bigger?
Bigger?
Yeah, well, like, you would have to probably drink, what, 3 or 4 if you're an adult. I'm just wondering if you're ever going to make them bigger for adults.
It's a great question, and, you know, I can't tell you how many moms, again, I keep on referring to the mom bloggers, but so many moms have reached out and says, I need this for me. I want to drink this.
I want to drink this.
Zero calorie, tastes great. But not only the moms, obviously, we have a lot of guys, too.
Grandparents,
say, you
too.
Can you come up with an adult aqua ball? For us right now, obviously, our focus has really just been around children. But, you know, everything's on the table for us. I mean, we have meetings, you know, internally where we discuss where this can go. You know, our parent company, Aqua Ball's the brand, True Drinks, Inc., we're a publicly traded company under the symbol TRUU. We have these conversations all the time. We believe that this is just the first of many steps we can tackle around this enormous issue about diabetes and obesity.
Right. And I can see, Kevin, where, like, for instance, there's so many people like Ruth and myself that want to drink something, want to drink water, but we also want to drink something that has a little flavor to it, right, that doesn't have the calories, that'll help me as a pre-diabetic, right? And, I mean, my whole family's got, on my mother's side, he has diabetes. So it's really important. And there isn't a lot out there that doesn't taste terrible, actually, that we have tasted. And I get every kind of beverage coming across my desk. And I want something that I can really shout about. And this, when I saw this, I went nuts. And the reason why, and then I find out that you know some of my same people out in L.A. I told you I work with all these kind of guys. This is so funny. I can't wait to call Neil and tell him that I talked to you. This is hilarious. Anyhow, to make a long story short, though, it's important for parents. It's important for grandparents. And there's a lot of grandparents that are raising children.
Yes.
You know, and are taking care of them during the day or after school. And they want to be able to give kids, you know, something that they can really, that they really can enjoy. But the other thing is, which I think is pretty exciting about your brand, is that you've licensed it through Disney and Marvel. Just a minute. Anyhow. Okay, we're just going to take a second here because I got to get some water. That'll all be edited. Don't worry. Just a second. She's getting me some. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. It's so important to be hydrated, right? And with this product, the orange especially, I haven't tasted the other flavors because I have only been. And then your publicist sent me more orange.
That's great.
Because he knows I like orange.
We will send you as much as you want. You know, you have my number, and we will send you as much product as you would like.
Well, this is important because, you know, I talked to Dave, my brother, and he has a brilliant idea, which I will talk about after the show, that I talked to him about. And he'd like to get your product into some of the, and he even suggested, you're going to die when you hear this, but, you know, high schools need new products, or kids that are in high school should. They're the worst as far as drinking sugary drinks, right? They're the ones that you're seeing really, not just little kids, but middle school and high school kids are becoming so obese, it's scary.
Yes.
And with some of the things that are on the market, and I won't bring their names up, but they're very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it would be wonderful, and we should go back to the drawing board for young adults and also us, that we do have something in the future that we can really push that way as well, you know?
I agree.
I work very closely still with the schools and lots of moms groups. And with our healthy cooking show, I want to show it on our healthy cooking show because I think it'll be a great place to feature it along with some of the things that we're going to be fixing. They can drink it on camera. How about that?
Well, that would be great. And, you know, we have kindred spirits in that, you know, for us, again, and I'll speak for me personally here, coming mm-hmm. up with, you know, the brand was, life is just too short not to make a significant impact mm-hmm. in the lives of others, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not to be ethereal, but that's to be factual. Like, I really believe in this campaign of ending the trend of childhood obesity for children. Like, this is our future. And when you look at what so many of the big companies are doing, I scratch my head and I'm like, why aren't other people taking this as seriously as we are? Because we believe mm-hmm. that we can play a very, very large role in changing the entire landscape, challenging other companies, right, to do mm-hmm. what's right on behalf of children with their ingredient cores.
Go ahead.
I just always ask the question, do our kids need more sugar? Do they need more sugar in mm-hmm. their day-to-day diet? You know, the American Heart Association, you know, states that kids should have, you know, no more than 3 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Well, they're not looking, if they're not looking on the labels, that's important, you know. One of the things I want to share with you was I was a child that had a problem with obesity. And it was because my mom went into the hospital, and that one summer I gained 30 pounds. And for a child of the second grade to gain 30 pounds because of an emotional situation and eating all the time and not playing, I grew up with this problem. That's the reason why I created the Chef You and I, was because I wanted to get America healthy again, especially children. So I have children on our shows, especially our cooking shows, all the time teaching them what's fun, what's easy to do, and what's healthy. And then they teach the parents. So that's where we are with that. I want to invite you back, because I know you have to run in a minute. I want to invite you back to our show. And can you give your website out?
Sure. It's www.aquaballdrink.com.
And thank you so much for joining me today on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk.
Catherine, thank you for your time, and I applaud you for all you're doing on the behalf of children and health. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Catherine.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email the changes to iMarketing.com, and they'll take care of it at no additional cost. Websites cost only $795, and hosting, which includes all maintenance of the website, is only $39.95 a month. iMarketing.com is also a Google-certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the Internet very quickly. iMarketing.com works with Google daily to create campaigns and optimize them. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web by calling 513-942-7869, or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@imktg.com today.
Hello, Cincinnati. This is Rick and Noel of Ultimate Air Shuttle. We are excited to announce on October 26, Ultimate Air will begin flights to Cleveland from Lunkin Airport for only $379 round trip.
And to kick off our newest destination, we are offering a buy one, get one free to Cleveland now through the end of 2015.
Now you can experience VIP jet travel to New York City, Charlotte, Chicago, and Cleveland. Book today at ultimateairshuttle.com.
Ultimate Air Shuttle flights are public charters sold and operated by Ultimate Jet Charters, LLC, as director of carrier. We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. And you know, I have a Facebook friend named Rudy London, and I love his poetry. And this morning, I want you all to know that I read this beautiful poem that he sent, and I must share it with all of you. It goes like this. The renaissance of soul makes a journey whole. The renaissance of heart keeps stars from apart. The renaissance of kiss, but not at old miss. The renaissance of by takes a hold of why. The renaissance of you reads all this too. So beautiful. I have to tell you that every time I get one of these from Mr. London, I get really excited because I love poetry. And, you know, he's got such a charming life. He's originally from Norway, and I kind of want him to tell you his story. I want to welcome to our show the famous poet, author, musician, Rudy London. Welcome to our show, Rudy.
Thank you very much. Surely appreciate that.
Now tell me
you want me to speak Norwegian then fluently throughout this interview, right?
If you want to say hello in Norwegian, we'd love to hear it.
Okay, that's very easy. It's hallo.
Hallo.
Yeah, hallo.
Mm-hmm. How are you?
That's it.
That's it.
I'm hallo. Really good. Okay. The sun is shining and it's fall and the leaves are coming down, so now I can see all the neighbors' houses.
Tell me something. You're born before 64, am I right, Rudy?
Oh, yeah, I go way back, yeah. I, in fact, I'm a member of the world's oldest rock and roll band, the Authorized Band.
Right.
So, you know, I go way back. You know, I was rock and roll before, you know, Elvis had a clue what was going on.
Yes. Right. Well, you know, what's interesting is that you're originally from Norway. You started as a musician very young, am I right?
Yeah, in fact, I was singing before I was doing any other music, and my mother said I was singing for about a year before I started to talk.
Uh-huh. Were they musicians?
The major reason for my singing was that my mother was a member of the local choir, and she was practicing her singing when she was weaving the weave, and I was sitting there in the corner playing my stuff, and I was singing the same songs that she sang.
Mm-hmm. Which made it very exciting for you. And after listening to several reviving Fire Engine tunes, you started on the harmonica, am I correct?
This is true. That was my first instrument of all instruments. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the accordion, because I thought your dad thought that was a good idea, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a funny story because my dad bought me an accordion because he was sick and tired of my, fire engine improvisations on that harmonica. So he bought me this accordion and invited all his friends over, and they all wanted me to play, and I played beautifully, but they didn't recognize the songs. And they say, what kind of songs are you playing? I said, my own songs. I just made them, you know. Mm-hmm. And then my dad didn't like that, so he sold the accordion after that, because there was no point to me playing something that nobody has ever heard.
You know? Right. You were 9 or 10, and you went to Igor Fyodorovich Stravinsky's, and you were playing his compositions, I think. But he wasn't dead, right? So
that's basically, that's what it sounded like,
right.
For those people that listened to me. But it wasn't his; it was mine.
Right. But then you came up with joining the Nestra school band, and there was a drummer opening. And what happened then?
Well, it was funny because I was so anxious. You know, I've been beating on drums. In fact, I must confess, I probably was beating the drum, you know, imaginary drums long time before I got hold of that first harmonica. But I want to try out for a drummer in the band. That was a dream job for me. And I showed up, and I was drumming, and the teacher told me my drumming was not worth diddly squat. And he lowered himself to let me have, so, you know, I was teary-eyed when I left the room. So later on, he gave me a position on playing some horn instead, you know. At least, you know, I'd be a part of the band. But here was the funny part. Somewhere down the road, and I don't know if you're going to get to this, but, you know, somewhere down the road, we started a band, and I was playing drums in that band because I always want to play drums. And that band was backing up this girl singer, and we sent the tape to, you know, the biggest producer in Norway on records, and he listened to the tape, and he sent her a letter back, and he said, it was so nice of you to send me that letter, and I just truly enjoyed it and everything. But I tell you this, that drummer in that band, he is good, you know. When I heard that, you know, I knew that I had a serious victory over that teacher that put me down, you know, back there in the school band days.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after that? Did you take up the guitar, I mean, as well?
No, the guitar was down the road. I was doing the horn in the school band. Mm-hmm. And then when I came to high school, I was doing the high school rock and roll kind of gig where we... you know, got together and started a band, and I volunteered to do the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend in the band, he played the guitar, and he taught me how to play the guitar. So that was my second instrument, you know, mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. band mm-hmm. as such. Yeah.
So when did you finally decide that music was your thing and that you wanted to make it your life venture?
Well, that happened a long time before that. That happened, you know, as I mentioned to you, I started, you know, composing my own music, you know, on, first of all, on the harmonica, and then later on the accordion. And as soon as I learned how to play the guitar, I started writing, you know, what you call pop songs and, you know, songs for the common pop people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I have always been a producer of songs more than a performer of songs. I perform the songs because somebody had to sing them, you know.
Right, right. And, you know, I grew up in that kind of world as well. And then, but in order to actually make things good for you, you had to get a job, right? So you went to work.
Well, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You have to earn money so you can eat your bread. And
that's
and,
right.
You know, my dad, you know, he would not be happy with me coming home and eating his bread all the time. You know.
So what happened? You went to work in the computer industry, am I correct?
Yes.
And you actually became, and then you joined the military, right?
Yes, and I want to be a pilot, you know. I want to be a pilot. That's what I want to be. And I went up there, and I said, I am your pilot. And they say, well, you have to go and see the doctor first. And the doctor looked at me and says, now, you see that little thing I have on the wall there? Can you read that? And I said, well, I can read some of those letters, but some of them I can't really read. And he said, put my glasses on. And I said, I don't have any glasses. And that's when he told me that I was not a pilot.
Yeah, you had to have glasses. So you became, instead of a pilot, you became an airman, Rudy. And you were, so tell me what you ended up doing. You went to work for the Norwegian Pentagon?
Yes.
And?
In fact, here's a little kicker. I was working for the Norwegian Pentagon before I was drafted to the military, you know, and in Norway, everybody was drafted, and I picked up, you know, of course, to be a pilot, you know, and mm-hmm. went for the Air Force. But that kind of happened after I had already started working for the military.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as I was already in the Pentagon, I was then given a lot of privileges since I failed as a pilot. they might as well use me on the ground, you know. So I was doing a lot of stuff in the military Pentagon of Norway, you know, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
not the American Pentagon, but the Norwegian.
No, yes. So then you convinced the colonel to what? Let you go where? Back to IBM?
I did what?
You went, after your drift, your remaining drift period, you let them, he let you go back to IBM. Is that next to the actual computer industry?
Well, you see, when I was working for the Pentagon, I was working with IBM computers.
Uh-huh.
And after I've been doing this and doing that for the colonel that I was working for directly as a military in uniform kind of airman, you know,
uh-huh.
then I went back to doing just regular computer work, you know,
as
I had done before. Yes.
Right. So, and then you went back to school and you took classes to study, you know, different, you went to an institute and you took college classes and stuff like that. And you really...
Yeah, well, you know, you go through a lot of stuff, you know, as you go through training for this and training for that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yes. So then you wrote about your wild and crazy system ideas in your book, and you spoke about crimes as an IBM hacker at the University of Oslo. Is that true?
And I tell you, that was one of the most nervous experiences of my life. I mean, there I was going into the big auditorium, and there was 200 Scandinavian executives sitting up there, you know, executives from different computer firm and all that stuff, and they were all sitting up there, you know, like the students normally do, and they were going to listen to me talking about my stuff. And I had a lot of things prepared. I was, you know, really proud of myself. I opened my mouth, and nothing came out. Nothing. I never had. It was like my throat muscles were frozen in time. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it
mm-hmm.
was just, mm-hmm. it was just something else. But it was an experience.
And then what happened? How did you get to the United States?
Well, I, the honest way, that was really a part of the computer experience that that ended me up here, because I came to Seattle. That was my first visit to the United States in 1976, and I was actually looking for computer jobs in America. I want to see what I could do over here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I could get all kinds of jobs, but they told me this, that I need a Social Security number before they could hire me. And I said, okay. So I said, where do I get that? And I went down to the Social Security office in Seattle and put in an application for Social Security and a number and card and everything like that, and put my name and address in Norway and my parents' name and address in Norway, and then I asked the lady, when can I pick it up tomorrow? And she said, no, you cannot pick that up tomorrow. You have to wait till, you know, a couple of months. And I don't have that time. Well, we'll just send it to you. Okay. So then I said to the employers, potential employers, I said, I cannot get the number for later on in the fall. And they said, no, we have to have that first. So I said, okay. So I gave that up and went home to Norway. And lo and behold, in Norway in October, this was July that I was in Seattle, and in October I got a letter in the mail from the U.S. government with a brand-new Social Security number. So I was legal while I was illegal. Think about that. You know,
that
but, of course,
weird.
I knew that really probably didn't really work that well, you know, so I didn't really, you know, just go over and take a job. But you know, it was kind of fun. You know,
yeah, so
really
then
fun.
You went back to rock and roll. Is that what you did?
Yes, I was discovered by Stikkan Andersen, which is the producer of ABBA, if you ever listen to ABBA.
I love ABBA. I love ABBA. ABBA's
yes.
one of my favorite groups.
He listened to some of my songs. What really happened there is I was working for the computer business, and a friend of mine told me I should pitch some of my songs to the record companies. And I said, well, that's a good idea. So I put together a tape, and I went to Oslo and places and let everybody listen to my music. And one of the producers sat down with Stikkan Andersen, and they listened to that stuff. And Stikkan said, sign him up, you know. And I got this phone call from the producer there in Oslo saying, well, we're going to do an album with your songs. And I said, hey, that is great. Who's the lucky singer, you know? That would be you. Oh, okay. You know, so I could live with that. So that's how that ended up with the record deal. And then I resigned as the computer person and started on my first album.
And so Hyper People in Nottingham Forest was your rock and roll. And you hit all the charts. And a lot of other artists have done your work in different languages around the world, correct?
Yes, first of all, Hyper People received an award in the American Song Festival in Los Angeles in 1979, 1980, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And also that song and the other one you mentioned, Nottingham Forest, is my rock and roll, went to number, mm-hmm. I think, 13 and 8 on the European Top 20 radio program.
Mm-hmm. And
you also mentioned I have songs released in different countries with different languages, translated, you know, from my songs by some other people. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when did you move into the U.S.? Again,
well, I'll tell you what I did there is I arrived to U.S. Many, many times, and then in 1980 I came, and that was kind of my last visiting tourist visit, and I came to Nashville, and I was in Nashville the first election night that Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980. And I was there watching TV and see that go by. And then a songwriting friend of mine in Nashville and I, we decided to go out one Sunday night. And we went different places. Sunday night in Nashville at that time was kind of low. And so we went to this place and they had a singles dance, you know. It kind of looked a little bit gloomy. So I said to my friend, I said, I'm going to just consult with my lucky coins. I pulled out my lucky coin and flipped it up in the air, and the lucky coin said, go in. And then that is where I then later met the mother of my girls.
Mm-hmm. That's where you met your wife?
I just stayed in Nashville after that.
You know? Right. And actually, you got married. And how long afterwards did you get married and have four beautiful children?
Yeah, we got married then in March of 81.
And so then you settled,
four daughters.
And you settled down and you raised four girls, true?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then what did you do after that?
Well, I went back first of all, the record company that recorded my first album and everything over there in Illinois, it went and bankrupt, you know, so there was no more recording deal going on, and so I decided to go back to my computer business. So I started working for Service Merchandise in mm-hmm. Nashville, you know, headquartered in Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and stayed with them till throughout the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I started doing photography.
And you became a photographer, right?
Yes. Yes. In fact, when I first came over in 1980, I was doing photojournalism for Norwegian magazines and newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already studied photography and journalism and stuff like that. And then I started then in 1989, I started focusing on wedding photojournalism.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're doing extremely well. Where can people find all of your poetry? Where can they purchase your books? What can happen? Because we're running out of time today. I'd love to have you back on, if that's possible. And where can people buy your books?
RudyLondon.com. Got links to everything.
All right. Rudy, R-U-D-I, London, LONDON.com. And the other one where the poetry is, can you give that again?
Well, there should be a link on that page to everything, but just to be on the safe side, the mm-hmm. poetry is listed under www.wildhairpoetry, you know, because my hair is wild, you know, and all that stuff.
Right.
Wildhairpoetry.com.
And I can't thank you again for joining us today on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk. Thank you again.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker, sponsored by Bagwell, Celestial Cruise Lines, Dan Perkins, IDI Smile Artist, iMarketing, Victory Nutrition International, Mandel Brown Surgery Center, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, and Ultimate Air Show on W4CY.